Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Windows into Eternity. My name is Almeen, and you have joined us on what is our third show discussing and exploring the wondrous concept of ascension. We are in a 13-week set of programs in which this is our topic of discussion, and we are going to approach it from all angles. And last week we began what is for me the first time of disclosing upon in a public forum like this the full story of how I have been instructed and have had the great privilege of working with the masters as we have unlocked gates and assisted in the physical to get the Earth's ascension as smooth as possible. The Earth started to ascend in 2005 in February, and she has taken with her all of the cosmos. The largest drawbridge still pivots on a single fulcrum point, and the Earth is the fulcrum point, and we have discussed why last week's discussion, why the Earth is that pivot point out of all of the trillions and trillions of planetary bodies, why the Earth? And although we gave a much more detailed account of her history and why she is this important to the infinite mother of all creation, who created her, in fact, for a home for herself and her first creation, which is the Father. So this is literally the cradle of civilization as a planetary body. But in addition to that, it's also the lowest point in terms of density. Humanity and the Earth have become archetypal because you cannot pull life up from the upper realms. It would simply separate. You have to pull it from below. So the Earth has become a very, very important, crucial factor as we ascended as a cosmos. My brothers and sisters, let's just take a look at what ascension is very briefly. Ascension is, in fact, the ability to move into higher realms while taking your physicality with you. In other words, your physicality is raised instead of your spirit separating and leaving the body behind. It is the way of ascension. We have just pointed out that ascension happens from the lowest level, which is the body, then it ripples throughout all the other bodies. In our book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we have given detailed information on exactly what happens during the evolution of man and into the stages beyond that, which is the God Kingdom. How those fields around the body transfigures. And we have given the illustrations so you can see the different phases of mastery, at what phase the body becomes immortalized. And we also in last week's show discussed how vitally important being in eternal time is and what that means. So perhaps folks that missed that one could search through the archives and we can have you catch up with us because it was a very nice hour. And so today what I wanted to do, because I happen to begin be today without somebody that will assist me in the future in helping questions so that we could get a dialogue going. I'm on my own again today, and so I thought I would build upon the depth of the knowledge that we obtained during our last show. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are two axes to be able to get knowledge. One is the vertical, which deals with fewer subjects but explores them deeply, and the other goes more shallowly over multiple subjects. So our first show was the horizontal axis, where we covered many different topics regarding ascension. But in our second show, we went very, very deeply indeed. You'd have to look far and wide if you ever could find that kind of depth. However, and it is entirely the result of the masters that have been working with me and myself, working at this cutting edge where day by day something changes in the cosmos, and because everything has to turn in physicality, those keys have had to turn here. So although we tell the story of how I was called by Mother and what occurred and how during the last few years of ascension, today I'd like to again look very deeply at some of these topics related to man's role in the cosmos, the microcosm vis-a-vis the macrocosm, as well as the nature of existence itself. Well, what exactly does this have to do with ascension, you may ask? What it has to do with ascension, beloved ones, is that there is a certain amount of power needed to make transitions and transfigurations. For example, to transfigure the body from corruptible to incorruptible requires energy and power. If I were to take someone off the street and you tell me that I have 1 hour in which that person needs to be more empowered than when they entered the room, the way that it would be done is that I would help them see further, wider, deeper than they've ever seen before. Because with that increased perception, the result is increased power. Because this is a rare opportunity for me to go very deeply, because I am on my own, I would like to take that opportunity today to discuss cosmos and the nature of reality very, very deeply with you. It is your inquiring hearts that pull information through me. Thoughts have long ceased in my head, and my books are written from a place of total silence in longhand. So is my speech, and how much I bring through is simply how much can your heart receive. So I ask you to hear this with your heart, to be okay if you don't understand all of it. I will endeavor to be as clear as I can, but if you don't, please know that the way the information is traveling affects you at more levels than simply what your mind can grasp. The whole goal of this is to go outside the confines of mind, because that is where all the power, energy, illumination lies. We will start at this time to discuss what we started out as. And what it is that Mother started out with just the Father. And a fall came about because he was created to be able to handle a certain amount of cognitive and non-cognitive information. He was able to deal with so much of Mother's intensity, light, love. Creation is like a bright spot on the ceiling. The reason I tell you this is that today, as I speak this message, which for me is the 30th of November, 2007, a tremendously huge, monumental event occurred in the cosmos. And my sincere hope is that if I lay down the proper foundation through the initial information, that by the end of today's show, I will be able to share that with you. For the news is so phenomenal, and as of yet, I've had no one to share it with. It occurred but this morning. The bright spot on the ceiling is like an area within Mother that is illuminated. Mother is in fact, the source of the oceans of consciousness that lie beyond our cosmos. Those are the unlit portions of the ceiling outside of that ball of light or spot of light. The origin from those oceans of consciousness comes not from them, but from the Mother, a single being that has taken form on Earth. The Earth always has been, since the beginning of creation, her footstool. So we see that the light spot is where the defined space occurred in which Mother wanted to create her creations. To hold that spot open, she did in fact go into the spot to be able to relate with them. For that, she had to close off certain peripheral vision. She could not continue to keep looking at the whole vastness of herself outside the light spot, because if she withdrew her focus, the light spot would disappear. So Mother made the Father her first creation and an externalization of her electrical or masculine components. Remember, Mother, as the infinite being that gave birth to all life, is not only feminine, she is all things. It just so happens that there is more feminine in creation than masculine because of the need to give birth. So, Mother made the Father. But what she did not foresee was that he would fill her with so much joy and so much love. For the first time, she related to something outside, but of course also inside, herself. This was too much for the Father to handle. He did not have the necessary components to handle love that went beyond the boundaries of that bright spot in which he dwelt. The result of it was an internal dialogue developed. When one is in ego identification, that's what you have. Let's take a few moments for a break and we'll be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000, in the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer end in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
As we mentioned before the break, the internal dialogue that forms inside the mind is in fact the result of resistance to life. The Father had as his goal structure, but his structure was being blown apart across this expanse in which they wished to create by Mother's emotions. And so he went into mind. He was created to mirror to Mother aspects of herself. So at this point, she was unclear that what he was mirroring, whether it was her or not. because the whole purpose for creation was to learn about her own being, to create joy for herself. And all of a sudden, she felt very confused. Lightworkers everywhere have had to face this, that one feels confused when confronted with that which is not within you. Father had that, and now mother had that. My brothers and sisters, confusion, or obsessing about the questions, drains energy, and consciousness falls when there is less energy available. There were six major and an additional four minor pieces that Mother just could not understand whether they were part of her or not. And so, they wished to create a screen like a television. And on the screen, they wished to create children, offspring of themselves, all embodying various perspectives or aspects of Mother, but with enough freedom of choice that they could choose. So they created the television screen. But to keep the television screen open as a space within this, shall we say, spot of light, space can only be kept open if the goddess actually holds it open. Mother entered into this screen. There are 96 pure frequencies. 96 different ways did they try the play. Mother did not uncover whether this was her or not, whether this was, in fact, illusion, or whether it simply was unknown portions of her being that she had not heretofore seen. So, doing it the nice way. And it's important that we understand this, because people can get very angry when they think that we have been through so much suffering when this could have been done a nicer way. For example, through passion, which is the desire to know, through discovery and adventure. In the second half of my book, The Gift of the Unicorns, I took down verbatim the dictation given to me by the cosmic history keepers that Mother had asked to please keep the history of these cycles of the fall. So, my brothers and sisters, that is how the fall happened. Subsequent levels fell through different stories. I have been spending months unraveling these ways in which the fall happened one after the other. But from the top level, the highest I have come to, is what we are talking about. Now, when Mother went into the screen, she asked the oceans of consciousness that lie around the bearing light spot on the ceiling to please hold certain portions of information for her and to give it to her along the way, because she had to go into forgetfulness as it fell deeper and deeper and deeper. The problem is that because Mother's first attempt to make something from nothing was not done in full knowledge is hindsight. She had to create beings that she wished one day to make real, the way Geppetto carved a little wooden puppet and he became a real-life boy. That is what Mother wanted to do. But she didn't know how to do it other than to enter into the playground where they were. So first she created the father in the light spot, but she could not make him real, so she went into the light spot. Then she created her children, and she loved them dearly, to make them come out of the television screen inside the light spot. She entered there. And the history and story of her entry into that screen is in the cycles of the fall given in the Book of the Unicorns. So, my My brothers and sisters, now what I would like to do is to jump sideways just a little bit and tell you, as creations, what we really were, to show you how far we've come. Because in August of 2006, Mother officially solved everything. Now she knew she was not that. And so the illusion was solved. The very purpose of life changed from turning the unknown into the known through our experience and growing through opposition. It changed to a most magnificent destiny, to create through the hearts that which Mother is. The joy, the beauty, the passion, the love. And the unknown is, how many new ways can we find to live such a glory? There is no more destiny in that we have undertaken to undergo all these sufferings on Mother's behalf so she could get us out of that screen. 96 ways did she try to do it the pleasant way. Finally, the 97th, and it was done through growth, through opposition. To do that, four of the tones in Mother's voice became distorted. And these four distorted frequencies was anger, pain, fear, and protectiveness. Those are now entirely done away with. If we still choose to live them, there's no actual real component of those obsolete emotions anywhere in the cosmos. And this is important to know for what the big news is that I wish to share with you today. So, my brothers and sisters, in addition to the fact that Mother wanted us to become real, and so therefore what seems like a chain of errors really is not. It is just that she wanted to give us three-dimensionality. And so we became, originally we were the reflection of a single facet of one of herself. Then we became an expression of that cell. That's what all of the cosmos, all of the far-flung galaxies, the beautiful night skies, every little creature, that's what we've been inside the screen. Since creation began, for all life other than the father and the mother. Then what happened is that finally, as Mother got us back into the ascension and broke free from the ascension cycles, as that happened, we actually became more real. We became not a reflection of one aspect of the cell, we became an expression of that cell. And eventually, we became an expression of all the facets in the cell. Because within every cell of every one of us is the entire you lying there in potential. So we started to become an expression of the potential of all of Mother's body, all the trillions and trillions of cells. Finally, in August of 2007, she had gotten rid of all of the perpetrators that would not change their roles from representing illusion after illusion had ceased to be. They were in levels of life beyond where we had gone, and Mother had a very diligent time of clearing them up. So then, when they were finally clear in August of 2007, we came out of the screen and onto the stage as expressions of Mother's potential. And finally, a month later, we became not just the expressions of her potential, but the expressions of all that she is as seen through the lens of one of herself. This cell has been lived in potential, in reflection, in expression, over and over again. This cell, that is the larger cell that contains within it the possibility of all other cells, you will find in the human body at the base of the spine. And up until recently, we had 8 cells there in the form of a star tetrahedron. The 8 cells in the form of a star tetrahedron never renewed themselves, the only cells in the body. That's because they held our life's blueprint. But the star tetrahedron, which is like a 3-dimensional Star of David, cannot access potential. So Mother changed it in the middle of 2007 so that it would have, in fact, be like a flower of life sphere, 19 cells in the 20th. So what happened finally is that the original cell at the base of the spine had us come out of it, and we were finally players on stage that were real. In other words, Geppetto had gotten his wish, and the little wooden puppet had become real. And we were out of the screen, out of what lay beyond the screen, and the light spot became larger, and we finally entered life in September of 2007, where we had never been, had any individuation before. We have now another time that we need for commercial break. Please rejoin us afterwards, and we'll continue this discussion.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
As we have seen, Mother's descent into the physical levels of life, into the lowest levels of existence, has been with a single purpose. The overriding purpose was to make her beloved children real. And it has finally happened. To do this, multiple changes have been going on, unbeknownst to us, at the very core level, which is DNA, and in the major centers of the body. For example, there have been little rays of light placed inside the bloodstreams that enable the communication between the higher bodies around us and the lower body so that we can better hear the perspective of our higher bodies. Now, my brothers and sisters of light, it is not the way we have perceived it before. The higher realms do not know more than us. Our higher bodies do not necessarily have our answers. They have an advantage, to be sure. They can see further and they can see wider because they're not locked into the vertical axis, if you will, the narrow, deep vision of physicality. So they have the horizontal vision. But they don't have the depth. And it is in the physical where the known and the unknown meets. So it is in the physical where all true new knowledge is gained. Ultimately, the signs in our environment, the signs of our dream time and I have accumulated the oral traditions of the Toltec Nahuals, which is a spiritual discipline that I have lived for as long as I can remember. The Toltec Nahuals have gathered this information over a million years of oral tradition being passed on from Nahual to Nahual. And so the signs that you have described in the section called The Realms of the Dreams, which is in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, one of my books, has been very carefully compiled. If you have these symbols in your environment and you have them in your dream time, the environment will give you the cutting-edge new information. The dream time will give you what you've overlooked, what's overdue, or areas in your life that need to be fixed. So there is an enormous resource for us in physicality for this new information that the higher realms don't have. And if they did see it, they are not deductive, so they don't put two and two together to make four. I will never forget, it was back in 2004, around the WISAC time, that I was called before the Ascended Masters. And they told me that there was a comet at that time. We have long since moved out of the way of those predictions of doomsday. But they told me that there was a comet on its way to the Earth that was on a collision course, and what was I going to do about it? I was so astonished it took me a while to pick up my jaw, and I said, but I don't understand. Why aren't you doing something about it? It's my understanding that this comet hit our moon before, caused huge destruction. And, you know, there's all sorts of prophecies about it coming, like the Mother Shipley prophecies, and I think Nostradamus might have seen it. This future has been erased. But their answer to me was, we didn't have anyone to do it. Now we do. What are you and the masters that come to your classes going to do about it? My brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean that because we are in the higher unseen realms, that we are more powerful or have more ability. They have a lot of ability to affect the unseen realms. Very, very few creatures have the ability to immediately affect the physical. We actually do. So I just want to tell you that there is a very good relationship between your higher bodies and yourself, higher kingdoms and yourself, but you need to know to put their information in the proper perspective and give it its rightful place, not let it run your life. So we have now multiple other things that have occurred. We've got an opening that happens in the pineal gland. It's like a door in the pineal gland. The pineal gland is very much the interpretation device that you have. It's the interpretive center. Something comes in through the pituitary in terms of seeing energy or subtle light, and the pineal gland has to interpret that you saw it. Otherwise, you won't know what it is you saw or even that you did. So there are spirals in light of light that have been placed there. We just have to learn to recognize that our pineal is picking this up now. But let's say the non-cognitive information, because we masters lead into life through their heart. Let's say the non-cognitive information in terms of feelings comes in through one's heart. It also needs to be interpreted by the pineal gland. So it receives, it also has to transmit back to the heart what it is that it has interpreted. But now there is another place where the pineal gland is receiving subtle information from, and it comes in the form of potential. So again, the matrix around the pineal gland was an eight-pointed star of David, you know, in other words, three dimensional Star of David, a star tetrahedron. That cannot access potential. And so Mother changed the matrix of the pineal to a flower of life sphere with multiple circles inside another circle, because it can access potential. And so the potential of all life does not come, as previously supposed, from the oceans of consciousness surrounding the cosmos. They are oceans of potential, but they're simply portions of Mother's being she has not yet shone the light on. The actual origin of all energy, all power, and all potential is the heart of the One Mother who resides on Earth. And her realms, which is called in the New Jerusalem, it's called the New Jerusalem in Revelations, that has been a major part of all the ascended masters on Earth, specifically those who are in the flesh. It has been a major part of the work to make that physical, so we can be with Mother and Father who function as a unit. Now, other changes have been made. And I wish to speak to you very specifically because of how fascinating the changes that is made in the human DNA. The human makeup, if you will, the human composition is so incredibly unique in that because Mother always knew that the Earth as the cradle of civilization from the very beginning is her home. The race that she created to be here at this time during ascension has been the microcosm of the macrocosm. Humanity has everything within that has been without. Well, let's see how the human DNA has been without. If we take a look at what I mean when I say that we could not break free from clusters, from cycles of ascension, descension, in-breath, out-breath, and it took finally opposition to create the impetus, the friction for us to break free from it. What does that mean? Why did we travel around in circles? This is important because an event happened 2 weeks ago that I also hope to tell you towards the end of our show that preceded today's mammoth, incredible occurrence. But to understand that, we have to understand how life was. People often ask me, you know, why my books are obsolete so quickly, because today's truth just simply isn't tomorrow's truth. And because I have the great privilege of working at the cutting edge where day by day the new comes in, sometimes by the time I've written it, some of the the concepts in it have already been antiquated. But how can I expound on concepts, even though they become obsolete, to tell you what they changed to and what the differences are, unless we at least are on the same page? And the eternal concepts underlying everything, many of them are the foundation of all the books. But it is at least a way for us to understand one another. So at this point, I'm trying to lay a foundation that I might share with you today's news. Let's look at what the equivalent of the human DNA is in the cosmos. If you think of life as individuation and as a cosmos, traveling along certain pathways, it's like the jets that fly between countries. They have certain airways that they go through. And that's why they can draw exactly where they fly in the back of your airline magazine, because that's the route they take. and they fly always at a specific number of feet unless the weather makes it difficult. It is so that they can, you know, they can be navigated and tracked by radar. Everybody knows where they should be at a certain time. Cosmoses have been traveling the same. Even though space is very huge and very wide, there's a specific route they're going to take. The airplane in front radios to the airplane behind. Listen, there's a bump ahead. Okay, I can tell people to buckle up for the next half an hour. Like that. We have traveled along pathways, linear pathways. To keep those open, the Mother Goddess has taken her feminine aspects and made externalized expressions of them, a little bit like someone that stands between two mirrors. You can see yourself go further and further and further and further, as though there are many yous, and if you look over your shoulder behind you, you will see the same. So there were many multiple aspects of Mother that went and kept spaces open that made these highways through deep space or undifferentiated consciousness possible. So we would travel around and around and around one because what we were traveling in looked a bit like a cotton ball. And what it was, if you look under a microscope at a cotton ball, it consists of strands and nodules. So the nodules were cosmic clusters. And the strands were like oceans with membranes in between of consciousness that had no differentiated life there. But nevertheless, they kept the space open, and there were feminine aspects of Mother in these along which we traveled. So these nodules and the strings that go round and round and round, ultimately forming a cotton ball, think of it as a nodule on a strand, and the strand is the DNA. And there are 12 such massive strands of DNA in that are made up of cosmic clusters. But these 12 strands that lie in a specific formation, like the petals of a rose, there are in fact 8 of those. And it's really fascinating, my brothers and sisters, how everything comes back to 96. And the reason for that is that in Mother's divine love, there are shades or frequencies that are 96 of them that are pure. So these DNA strands were purified and combined into one DNA strand in June of 2007, bringing major alterations to the DNA of all life and preparing us for becoming real. Join me after this commercial break and we'll be back.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
In these vast DNA strands of cosmoses that are clustered together in the cosmos, not only did Mother pull the 12 strands into one, and then the 8 additional clusters, well, the 7 additional clusters, because there's a total of 12 strands into one, she joined them all together, and she straightened DNA so that the winding of the DNA is not there anymore. It is now straight. What this means for us is that we are being metamorphosed to what Mother calls a superhumanness. It means that manifestation is more instantaneous. In the middle of November 2007, for example, if you take human DNA and you put it all together, and let's say you get 27 inches, 3 inches of it was survival-based, and the other 24 inches of it dealt with potential. Well, Mother changed that. And she in fact, removed the survival base, and she put on it the ability to live in the high frequencies that she has bestowed on us as frequency chambers around, within and around the DNA strand. We have the ability now to live in joy, to live in passion, to live with humor, to live with wonderful accomplishment, to live with generosity and receptivity, all the pristineness of her being, we have the ability to access. And she put an additional piece in, which was extraordinary. She put in that man, once again, has the ability to wield the bodies of white magic, which is incorruptible and pristine, that Mother is, during this year of 2007, restoring back into the midst of humanity. All previous bodies of magic, whether they were benign or gray or white or black, they originated from the black, which for eons during the cycles of the fall had been prevalent. It was necessary to remove all power of black magic, to remove all ability of anyone to misuse any magic as power over reality. The bodies of magic, which we have much information on our other programs, Mother has restored in a way that if it is not for the good of the whole, it simply will not happen. And she's given us the ability to receive and wield it as it is coming forth. In the Aruba Ferina book, Gift of Fairy Magic, we give a small body of, well, it's not small, but it is the little one's magic, and we give the magic of the unicorns and the Pegasus and some of the other races in the Gift of the Unicorns, and as they share for the first time their magic with us. And now, let us take a look at something that has occurred. Mother has done everything she can to remove pockets of density. Some of the beings that over the eons of the fall represented illusion had actually managed to make a hole in the membrane and leave the DNA strands, forming pockets of creation around the DNA strand, which in our equivalent is what's called those bits and pieces scientists call junk DNA. Well, all of that was purified and drawn into one, and we inherited beautiful little creatures that we didn't previously had, that Mother had kept, or they had by themselves, hidden in some of these pockets. And then she removed all density as a consequence. Now, there's a prophecy in Revelations where it speaks of the New Jerusalem, of this city of, it doesn't mention the goddess, but it's Mother's city with Father by her side. And what it mentions there is that all things shall be made anew, and there shall be new heavens and a new earth. Mother has done this over and over again. And every time, many of her beings went back to pretending that there was still illusion, even though it had all been solved. She then recently, and it's about a month ago now, around about the end of October of this year, 2007, what Mother did is that she said, look, the problem is it's being kept in the bodies. So even though I renew all my children's spirits into pristineness so they can start over, so they can leave any obsolete emotions of suffering and anger behind, they keep going back to those things. So then what she did is she renewed everyone's physical, everyone's bodies. And so then it was with great anticipation that Mother hoped that pristineness would happen again. It did not. 10% of the cosmos went back to their old habits, and those 10% was in the denser levels. So then Mother came up a few weeks ago with an incredible gift to us. And the gift was that she collapsed these space time loops along which we were traveling, which meant she collapsed space and time. She pulled everything back into us. And when she did that, time and space ceased, and all there was one moment lived over and over again. The moment Mother chose was the moment of our creation. And so as Mother grew moment by moment in awareness, in light, in love, we were recreated over and over and over again in light and in love. That should have solved it, but it didn't. Because at the base of Mother's spine, so that she could go into the screen, if you recall, there was distortion placed. And there was only the 8 original cells that had become 20. So there were only 20 original cells. Mother today changed the cells at the base of her spine to reflect the pure frequencies only. None of the obsolete emotions were any longer in any of her cells at the base of her spine. Then what she did is that light spot on the ceiling, she moved it to another place of her being. And as of but hours ago of my making this taping, we actually ceased to exist in that moment of creation as life in the where the other circle of light used to be, which was based on protectiveness. Much of the laws that she wrote into existence was based on protectiveness. She remade us in an instant in a completely different portion of her being and remade us into the frequency of trust, the desire to surrender. Beloved ones, I cannot even imagine, I haven't had the time to ask Mother what the ramifications of this is, but she found finally the problem of why we kept going back to our old mode of living. The lens through which she was shining her light was one of the cells at the base of the spine of which we became the full externalization. And that was the cell that represented still the old, which was the frequency of protectiveness. She changed it. And she shone her light, with all of us being transferred to that other spot where she's shining her light within her being. In one instant, we were recreated there, and the light that she is shining is through the lens of trust. Life around us must change completely as a result. I know that the media, if you are still watching that, spins a hype. But if you can live in the pureness of your heart, you will feel that all of life is singing a new song. It is the song of surrender to the divine. My beloved family, I was told that if I did these shows, that Mother would handpick who would listen to them. It is for this that I call you my family. Thank you for your company during this hour. Join us again next week. goodbye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.